Frankenstein's monster has been a star of the silver screen for basically the entire history of cinema.
Oh, it's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Hello, handsome! You're a good-looking fellow, do you know that? People laugh at you. People hate you. But why do they hate you? Because they are jealous!
What have I done? Have I just given life to a monster?
Good stuff. From 1910's Charles Ogle to the immortal Boris Karloff of the 30s and 40s, Glenn Strange in the sequels, then Christopher Lee in the 60s, to the string of actors who've done the role ever since, the monster lives. Well, this week, three Atlanta playwrights take a new look at Mary Shelley's Frankenstein with some modern scientific research behind it, research conducted at Emory University. Frankenstein Goes Back to the Lab is now playing at the Atlanta Science Festival in Emory, and two of the playwrights behind this production join us this morning, Neely Gossett and Edith Frenny. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's up with this adaptation of Frankenstein? How is this different from all of the others that we've just been listening to little bits of?
Well, we started with the book, and that's pretty much where we're leaving the monster. We started, the three of us, by reading the book and then having a conversation about it with three scientists or science professors from Emory. And then kind of came up with a couple of parts, elements that we all were going to go away and write into these plays. We had 2 days to write them, and we had to make sure all of those elements were included. And so the four plays that came out of the initial workshop are all so vastly different and kind of touch on the big themes in Frankenstein in really interesting and unique ways.
Okay, so interesting thing there. So Neely, clarify for us, is this sort of one play about Frankenstein or divided into separate acts that are each written by y'all different playwrights? Or do you really conceive of these each as tiny little plays that are distinct entities?
They're actually three different plays, one by myself, one by Edith, and then one by Adai Moon is also a playwright involved. And they originally were full-length plays that we wrote in 2 days. Now we're putting them together as three separate short plays. So they'll run about an hour and a half, but they'll be three separate entities.
Yeah, there a couple of them are excerpts, and then I think we're hearing Adai's entire play.
Okay. Edith, why don't you tell us about your play?
Well, the full-length play is a bit of a wild ride. It takes place, it starts in the late 1960s and then has four short acts that all jump forward about 100 to 150 years into the future. It's got lots and lots of different characters, lots of settings. One of the settings is the moon. So it's sort of this epic exploration of mostly the thematic content that we were exploring when we were reading the book and talking to the scientist collaborators at Emory.
At the risk of asking a playwright to act, could you give us a little taste?
Sure, of course I can.
I'm sure you're a good actor, too. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I've been accused of that occasionally, but not too much. The excerpt that I'm going to be reading is from a section. There is a sort of tropic exploration of the relationship between a monster and a creator. It takes place about 250 years in the future. The future has been is now a kind of post-apocalyptic medievalism, and the monster is trapped in a tower on an island in the middle of a sea, and his scientist is keeping him captive, and he's been visited by this little girl named Mary, and they're having a conversation about trying to figure out whether or not he's human. She's trying to figure that out from him, and so they're having this conversation to figure that out. So the monster is the first to speak. He says, "I think I need to admit something to you." Mary says, "What's that?" "I'm not sure I even know what human is." "Well, humans are members of the species Homo sapiens sapiens, which is Latin for man who knows and knows he knows. They are the only extant members of the subtribe Hominina, a branch of the tribe Homininae, belonging to the family of great apes." "Did you make that up?" "Not at all. I learned it at school." "What is school?" "A place where they send children to learn." "I will never learn then." "Why not?" "I will never leave here." "Why not?" "Because he won't let me." "If you are human, as you suspect, then the scientist can't keep you here." "He can't?" "No. Humans are free to come and go as they please." "Then perhaps I am not a human after all." And it goes on from there.
That's playwright Edith Frenney reading from an excerpt of the play that she has written about or inspired by or based upon Mary Shelley's immortal Frankenstein's monster story. It's part of a series of short plays playing at the Atlanta Science Festival that are sort of marrying the Frankenstein story with modern scientific research done at Emory University. Edith, what was the germ of that play that you got from talking to the scientists?
Oh my goodness, there were like 8 germs, which I think is why the play goes in so many different directions. I was really interested in some of the stuff that David Lin, who's one of the professors at Emory, deals in synthetic biology and the sort of quest to create life from nothing, which is really what Frankenstein is about. You know, there's a lot. There's Mary Shelley doesn't really go into. It's not a scientific book. She doesn't really talk about how Victor Frankenstein did what he did. But that question.
Reanimated a dead guy.
Yeah, reanimated a dead guy, exactly, from a bunch of parts of other dead guys. And so the scientists that we were talking about are also working in that sort of realm of how do we make life from non-life, right? And then one of the questions on the table was, what actually is life? Which I think was a question that most of us hadn't ever asked before. So that was a big jumping off point for me in sort of looking at, well, where does life begin? If we wanted to make it from nothing, how would we start that process?
Neely Gossett, you also wrote a little play inspired by Frankenstein and marrying it with modern science. Where did you take yours?
It was inspired by the same ideas that Edith was just talking about, but it's a very, very different play. I ended up looking at cloning because I feel like that is creation of life, like Frankenstein. So I wanted to look at a type of cloning that could really happen. So I looked at cloning of butterflies, and I was also inspired by the idea of the year without summer. Frankenstein was actually written because there was a volcanic eruption that covered Europe, and Mary Shelley was on vacation and they couldn't get outside. So she and Percy Shelley and Byron had a competition to see who could write the best novel within those few days. And that's how Frankenstein came to be. So I also wanted to play with The Year Without Summer.
Could we get a taste of yours?
Yes. When Mount Tambora erupted and the cloud of volcanic ash covered the earth, new bacteria was formed, which affected particular subspecies of butterflies. The bacteria killed the males before they even hatched. I know butterflies seem like a small thing in comparison to crops dying and cholera outbreaks, but one link can really affect the whole ecosystem.
Sounds great. We're talking to playwrights Edith Frenney and Neely Gossett, who have taken a fresh look at Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and written short plays that are inspired by that story and marrying it with modern science being done at Emory University. It's playing as part of Atlanta Science Festival right now. And Neely and Edith, something that should be pointed out maybe is that Frankenstein is science fiction, and science fiction is a genre historically dominated by men. Mary Shelley wrote one of the foundational works of this genre, specifically of science fiction horror, and she's a woman. And so are you two playwrights who are updating this work for the 21st century. Does that fact have any particular resonance for you? It's interesting, you know, science fiction, of course, a genre historically dominated by men, but Mary Shelley wrote this seminal work, and she's a woman, and both of you are women. All of the playwrights who worked on this project are women. Does that fact have any particular resonance with either of you?
Well, she was also a very, very young woman at the time that she wrote the novel, and surrounded by men. I somehow the title of my play is The Rights of Men, so it's very much a play about men in the sciences and the sort of great discoveries and advances that we can thank men for, and also the kind of terrifying and terrible advances that we can thank them for as well. I mean, and I know that this is a topic of you know, much discussion now in terms of how to get more women involved in STEM fields, sort of the underrepresentation of women in STEM fields. Men have traditionally dominated these fields. So that my play became a play very much about men and male relationships, I think was really inspired by the fact that Mary Shelley was on this sort of long retreat with her husband and Lord Byron, and sort of living in the shadow of both of those men at the time that she was writing this most incredible novel.
And mine actually has a female protagonist, and another main character is a woman. There's only one man in mine, and the scientist in mine is female. But I think it is a little bit different, her being female, because she's also dealing with personal decisions as far as whether or not to use a surrogate to carry a child. So there's some scientific decisions in there that are particularly female.
Well, that's Neely Gossett and Edith Frenney, both playwrights behind the new project Frankenstein Goes Back to the Lab, mirroring Mary Shelley's Frankenstein story with modern science, done at Emory University. It's playing right now as part of the Atlanta Science Festival at Emory. You can go to gpbnews.org /on-second-thought to get some more information on that. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.